Here's one that we can all identify with. You go to McDonald's and you ask for a cup of coffee. You ask for it extra hot. You drive off with a cup of coffee. You spill the cup of coffee by your own negligence. The coffee burns you. You sue McDonald's. Why? Because it's not your fault. We live in a society where it's easy to blame other people and other things for the ills and the problems of our life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue our series from the book of Philemon titled Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships, with the first half of The Fence of Responsibility. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of Philemon, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Fence of Responsibility.
I thought last week that I was done with the book of Philemon, and in the middle of the week, the Lord spoke to my heart. I was listening to a radio program, and the preacher was talking about responsibility, and the Lord just began to burden my heart in the book of Philemon again, dealing with the issue of responsibility in rebuilding broken relationships. That's what we have been dealing with. We've talked about rebuilding the fence of forgiveness, reconciliation, trust, unity. And anytime there has been a broken relationship, generally somebody has been irresponsible. And that has caused the breakdown of the relationship. So this morning we are going to look at irresponsibility. Before I start, we're going to read the book of Philemon again. And so we're going to ask that you would prepare your hearts as we go through the book of Philemon. You have been late for work two times this week. This is added on to your history of tardiness at work. Your boss tells you if you're late one more time that you're going to be fired. You determine that you're going to do everything in your power to make it to work on time. You go to catch the bus, and the bus has been delayed for some reason. You arrive at work a half hour late. The bottom line is you end up getting fired. You begin to blame the bus company for not being on time. You blame other things for the reason that you lost your job, not really realizing that all you need to do is look back at your history of tardiness and see that that is the reason that you got fired and not because the bus was late. It's somebody else's fault. You drive through a light that is about to turn red. As you're going through the intersection, the policeman sees you going through and catches you going through a red light, gives you a ticket, and you drive away after he gives you the ticket, thinking to yourself that yellow light needs to be lengthened. Somebody needs to talk to the city about making that yellow light longer. Bottom line, again, it's not your fault. Here's one that we can all identify with. You go to McDonald's and you ask for a cup of coffee. You ask for it extra hot. You drive off with a cup of coffee. You spill the cup of coffee by your own negligence. The coffee burns you. You sue McDonald's. Why? Because it's not your fault. We live in a society where it's easy to blame other people and other things for the ills and the problems of our life. We see in the book of Philemon today that Onesimus was an irresponsible individual. He could have blamed other people for his situation and why he was in the condition that he was in. He could have very easily have said, "It's not my fault," and cast it off on somebody else. But we see that once Onesimus got his heart right with God, that he began to take personal responsibility. There are several indications that he took personal responsibility in his life. The first thing that we see is if we look in the book of Philemon and verse 11, Paul writes, "Who in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee. The word unprofitable is a word that meant useless. But it doesn't stop there, because the word not only meant useless, but it meant useless even to the point of being injurious. That your negligence, that your uselessness, that your unprofitability has injured somebody else. And so Paul said at one time, Onesimus was irresponsible. And he was irresponsible to the point that what he did actually hurt somebody else. Not only that, but we see Paul goes on to say at one point he was useless. But look at what he says. Now he is what? He is profitable. At one point he was unreliable, but now he is reliable. We see another instance in this chapter of Onesimus' reliability when we see how he ministered to Paul. Look what it said in verse 13. He said, "Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." Paul said that this cat is so reliable that here I am in prison and he is there ministering to me. Here I am in chains, and he comes every day, refreshes my soul, restores me, bring things to encourage me, bring things to nurture me. He was once unreliable, but every day there's one thing I know, and that is I can count on Onesimus. One day he was unprofitable, but today I can count on him. He is reliable. And then we see Paul speaking on the reliability of Onesimus. He says in verses 15 and 16, he says, "For perhaps he departed from thee for a season." And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that it may have been in the providence of God that he left. And where somebody meant something for evil, God turns it into good. "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou might receive him forever." Now notice this right here. I love this. I love it. It says, "Not now," and this is the Glaze translation, "as an unreliable servant, but more than a servant, as a trusted brother." That at one time he was unreliable. You could not trust him. You could throw Onesimus about as far as you could throw this building. But now, I'm sending him back to you, not as an unreliable servant, but as a trusted brother. I'm talking this morning, as we look at broken relationships, about building the fence of reliability. Let me give you a picture of reliability. Turn to the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And here we want to look at a picture of reliability. Verse 1. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the tax collectors, and he was rich." Now, before we go any further, let me say this, that tax collectors were some of the most despised individuals in the nation of Israel at this time. What they would do is that they would collect taxes for the Roman government, and the Roman government built in how much the tax should be. And the tax collector would not only collect the tax for the Roman government, but what they would do is that they would put high surcharges on the tax, and so that now instead of taking the tax for the Roman government, they were taking extra money, and guess what they were doing? Padding their pockets. Notice what it says here. And he was what? He was rich. And how did he get rich? He got rich off of the profit from ripping other people off. All right? That's how he got rich. And he was hated. He was hated by the people of Israel. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not because of the crowd, for he was little of stature. So Zacchaeus was a little man, and he could not see over the crowd. So in verse 4, it says that he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest. Now look, see, here's where the people are looking at him, right? Look, man, this Jesus is supposed to be this holy man. Jesus is supposed to be the Son of God, and look what he's doing. He's gone, and he's going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner, somebody that we hate, a tax collector, a publican. And Zacchaeus stood, and before Jesus could get a word in, before Jesus could say anything, Zacchaeus said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What do we see Zacchaeus doing? We see Zacchaeus accepting responsibility. We see Zacchaeus acknowledging the fact that he had ripped people off. And you know, there are people that are ripping people off every day. And not once do they think to acknowledge the fact that it was wrong. Not once do they try to make things right. But they go on irresponsibly, not giving a concern about who they just took advantage of. For some reason, on this particular occasion, Zacchaeus says, I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm going to own the wrong that I've done. I'm going to take responsibility for the things that I have done wrong. Where are you at this morning, my brothers and sisters? Are you a responsible individual? Have you taken responsibility for your actions? Have you taken responsibility for your life? Sometimes in the body of Christ, I see saints go at it with each other, say harsh words to one another, say things that are unbecoming. But it blesses my heart that when one person comes to another person and says to that individual that you have challenged me, or you have offended me, or you have hurt me, and then they begin to talk about how the hurt took place, and they identify the words that were said, and the person goes back and they say, I'm sorry. I should have never said that. And I ask that you forgive me. What is that? That's taking responsibility for your words. That's taking responsibility for your action. And I see that happen on the positive side and on the negative side. It's hard. It's a hard thing, and I'm going to talk about it here in a second, to own up to something that you've done wrong. Taking responsibility can be challenging sometimes, but this is what the Word of God calls us to. I want to share with you some signs of irresponsibility, because some people are irresponsible and they don't even know it. And when you look at relationships that are broken and relationships that break up, sometimes relationships break up because one person is irresponsible. One of my weaknesses, and I confess to you that I love to watch court shows. Go ahead and throw tomatoes, rotten eggs at me, but that's one of my weaknesses. I love to watch court shows. And I'll say 9 out of 10 times when somebody brings another person to court, it's because of one reason, because one of the parties acted irresponsibly. Either they were supposed to pay, they gave them a loan, they didn't pay them back, they got reasons for not paying them back. They might have taken their car, wrecked their car, didn't feel that it was their responsibility to have to pay for the damage done to the car. But most of the relationships, most of the reasons that people end up in court is because somebody was irresponsible. And that irresponsibility carries on when you don't want to take the responsibility to step up to the plate and own what you've done wrong. And so that just perpetuates the irresponsibility. So some people are irresponsible, they don't know it. So I began to sit down and think about what type of mentalities do people have that cause them to stay in their irresponsibility? Well, the first one is what I call I am not wrong mentality. And this person either minimizes or fails to see his or her wrong, but what do? They magnify the wrong of the other person. See, when I refuse to take responsibility for my action, then what do? I minimize, really what I did was insignificant. Oh, well, really what I did didn't amount to a hill of beans, right? But this other person, and they magnify their wrong. Have you ever been there? Have you ever minimized or failed to see what you did wrong when a relationship breaks up, when something goes wrong? Have you not looked at where you contributed to that problem? Have you minimized that? The thing that we can exalt and we can magnify and we can blow up what the other person has done. Sometimes they have if they can do it, so can I mentality. And what mentality is that? They feel that the other person's wrong is so egregious that whatever they have done is insignificant. So for instance, if somebody does something to me that is egregious, right? I mean, that I just feel that absolutely has wounded me and torn me apart, then I can do what? Watch this. Oh, this is good. Watch this. Then I can go gossip about them, right? Right? I got the right, why? Because this little gossip that I'm perpetrating is not as bad as what they did to me. And so what's the mentality? If they can do it, so can I. But I'm not going to be as bad as they are because they really did something that's bad. All I'm doing is going around trying to gain a little army on my side so that I can, have a case when it comes to the time I need to have a case. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, but that's okay. You know I'm right. Having a I'm not going to apologize mentality. And that is, they believe that the other person is at fault, therefore they don't feel the need that I need to apologize. Now, in the Bible, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, in the Bible, Matthew 18, Matthew 5. Whether you have been offended or whether you are the offender. Matthew 18, Matthew 5. All right. Don't read them now, but read them. You can't get off the hook. You cannot get off. If there's a breach in the relationship, you can't get off the hook. Why? Because it says that in Matthew 5, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you. You remember that somebody offended, that you offended somebody. It said, leave your gift there and go make things right. Then come back and offer your gift. Matthew 18 says that somebody has offended you. Then you go to them. So the fact of the matter is that you can't get out of it. So some people have the I am not going to apologize mentality, and they feel that it's the other person's fault, therefore I don't need to try to reconcile or make things right. And then the last mentality is the I cannot change anything mentality. this person feels that they are right and the other person is not going to change, and therefore I'm not going to reach out. That I know I'm right. I didn't do anything wrong. I know I'm right. And therefore, you know, I'm not going to change anything, because the change is on that person. They need to change. And if they change, then I can change. And see, when we take these, you know what that is? Irresponsibility, as far as relationships are concerned. That if you fall under any one of those categories, you are irresponsible. All right? Now, put up that next slide. I was listening to Andy Stanley this week, and he was doing a message on responsibility. And he talked about how when he counsels people, that sometimes one person will come in, that somebody will be having a relationship problem, whether it's marriage, dating, or just a relationship, and only one person comes in. And when the one person comes in, the other person might be angry. They might not want to, you know, be helped. They might not want to receive counseling. So they're not coming in. So when that one person comes in, and he didn't drew, this is my little drawing right here. So I kind of took his idea, and I'm taking it another step further. He said what he gets the person to do is to, he gives them a piece of paper, and he gets them to draw a circle on the piece of paper. And he said this about three or four times while he was preaching. He said, it doesn't work. He said, what I'm getting ready to tell you, it doesn't work. So I'm letting you know ahead of time, it doesn't work. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't work. Okay, you draw a circle, and you say, this circle, what's inside this circle, represents all the chaos in your life. What I want you to do is look at this as a pie. And I want you to cut out the slice of pie, with however big you feel that it is. He says, as soon as he starts talking, that people want to, what do they want to do? They want to jump out of the pie and start talking about who? The other person. Why? Because they refuse to accept their part of the responsibility. They refuse to look at where they have put the ingredients in the pie. So when we look at that, what happens in relationships? People get angry, people are impatient, people are rude, people are proud and stubborn, people nag, people are critical, they are bitter and unforgiving, and people are inconsiderate. So when you sit down and you look at a broken relationship, draw the pie and then cut out your slice of the pie. That opens our eyes. You can't be irresponsible anymore, because I have to look in there somewhere and see that I have put the ingredients in this pie. So when I go back and I look at all these reasons why people are irresponsible or they don't take responsibility, I have to look and say, are they really being realistic? That anytime a relationship breaks down, that is it really just one person? 99.9% of the time, both people contribute. So we have to be honest, and we have to be willing, and we have to carve out our slice of the responsibility. Now, he went on to talk about, and this is what really just kind of got in.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Fence of Responsibility. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Fence of Responsibility, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fence of Responsibility. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fence of Responsibility. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. William R. Glaze's book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, is made available by contacting us at anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.